Daf Mem Aleph is starting in the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Omer Beis. The Mishnah says, "Mafkit Chavis Etzel Chaver." If the Mishnah says, if you give something, someone to watch, a barrel, whatever it happens to be, "V'lo Yachdoloi Bailim Mokum." So the ratio of the Mishnah says, we're talking about a case where the Bailim does not say to leave it, and he's going to leave it in a specific place that you're going to watch it in the Shomer's house. Just says, here it is to watch. Watch whatever you want. Vitiltala, and the Shomer goes ahead and moves it. What does it mean, moving it? Why is he moving it? What's the difference if he moves it? The Gemara is going to discuss. Vinishtabra, and now the kli breaks. So the Mishnah, the ratio of the Mishnah says as follows. In mitoich yada nishbara, if he was still holding on to the barrel when he was moving it, and then it broke, so then the Mishnah differentiates. Litzarchoi, if he was moving the barrel for his own reason, the Shomer just wanted the barrel, and therefore he was moving it somewhere else, so it's chayiv. Shouldn't have been touching it. Shouldn't have been. He's going to be chayiv, even though it's relatively an einis. And normally, if he's a shomer chidum, let's say, even a shomer sochi, he potter an einsin. Over here, he's going to be chayiv. Litzar cha, if he was moving the barrel for its own purpose, where it was not safe, where it was going to be sunny on it, whatever it is, and he decided to move for its own purpose, even if he's still holding it in that situation, he's going to be potter. And mishehnicha, however the ratio says, he put it down, so he was being metaltal, and then he decided to stop being metaltal, and he put it back down. So nishbara, then the ratio says, and it makes no difference why he was moving it, even if he was not supposed to be moving it, because he was moving it for his own purpose. So once he finished, and after he finished, it broke, then the ratio says, you're going to be potter anyways. That's the ratio of the Mishnah. The Sefer, the Mishnah says, Yachtala Bailam Mokum, if the Bailam says a specific place that you're supposed to be watching it, you only don't move it, leave it right here. Vitulta, and again you pick it up, Vinishbara, and it breaks. Then the Sefer says, Bein Mitoich Yodoi, Bein Mishenicha, whether you're still holding it, whether you put it down, it doesn't matter. It depends why you moved it. Litzarchoi Chayiv, if you moved it for your own purpose, then even putting it down, you're still going to be responsible. We'll see at what point you become not responsible. Litzarcha Pater, but if you were moving it no matter what, if you were moving it for the purpose to save the Kli and to protect the Kli better, then you're going to always be Pater. What's going on in the Mishnah? Says the Gemara. Hamani Rabbi Shmuel, the ratio of the Mishnah that says once you put it down, you're going to be putter no matter what, is going to Shitas Rabbi Shmuel that we saw in the end of Gemara and Baba Kama. The Amar Loi Be'inan Das Bailim. He says when you take something that you're not supposed to take and you're going to return it to the owner, you do not need to tell the owner that you returned it. Remember, in this case, we're talking about a Shomer. Okay? A Shomer, it's not his chefetz, and it's not his. It's not the chutz or the balabayas. So when you say returning it to the balabayas, we mean returning it to your shmira. Okay, so you're returning it to your shmira. You were taking it for some reason that was other than the shmira, in which case, like, there is the shmira is sort of suspended. When you put it back down, you're just returning it to the regular matzim of shmira. But in this case, you never told the owner. It's not like you called the owner and up, oh, by the way, I apologize. I moved your chayfetz for my own purpose because I wanted to do something. We'll see in the Gemara exactly what you were doing. And therefore, I want you to know, I'm done. I'm sorry. I put it back to where it was supposed to be now, and I'm going to continue washing it. If you do that, great. But you didn't do that. You just said, okay, oh, sorry, I forgot this is not my kli, I'm not supposed to be using it, and you put it back down and returned it to its matzav of shmir. Is that considered a proper hashava of the kli that you took illegally? So Rishmal, Gemara Baba Kama says, yes, that's good enough. We're not getting into how the Gemara Baba Kama learns the Machlekes of Rishmal and Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara Baba Kama has two ways of learning this Machlekes of Rishmal and Rabbi Akiva. One is totally specifically on Shmira. One is totally on Gzela. Rashi and Tosis over here totally ignore that issue. Other Rishonim do bring that in here. Rashi and Tosis don't, so we'll just make it a little bit easier on everybody and leave that out. This Sanya. The Bryson says, "Hagoynev tlem in a eder. If you steal an animal from an eder, a corral, or from a bunch of sheep, or sell them in a kis, or you steal money from a wallet, so the makom shenigdav yachzer divrei Mishmal. Mishmal says, just put it back. You don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to do anything. As long as you put it back to where it came from, that is going to be good enough. Rabbi Akiva Omer, tzarech das bailer. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you do not have a hashava. The way Rashi says it is hashava below yediyah, lav hashavi. If you've taken the object, whether the more over there in Baba Kama discussed, did the bailer know that you stole it? Did he not know you stole it? And that's what we brought in Rabbi Yitzchak, that Adam Amashvesh Bekisei Kol Shah. So he knows you stole it. Getting into all that discussion, leave that alone for a second. But Rabbi Akiva says, you have to know. Notify the owner when you return it, otherwise it's not a proper hashava. So therefore, says the Gemara, in the ratio of the Mishnah, where it's very clear that once you put it down, whatever the stealing was when you picked it up, but once you put it down, we said you're totally putter, whatever happens to it. It means you're giving it back to the owner. Now you're just watching it back as a regular shomer. So that must be Shitas Rabbi Shmuel. And Rabbi Shmuel says you do not need Das Bayil. That's the ratio. In fact, the Gemara. But Rabbi Shmuel, if we're going to Shitas Rabbi Shmuel, Mayriya lo yachtu. What's the difference if the owner set aside a place for you to watch it and he said, I don't want you to move it. I want you to leave it in this corner of the backyard and the chatzar. I feel yachtu nami. Whether he said yes at a specific place, whether he said no in a specific place, makes no difference. Either way, you weren't supposed to move it. Either way, you returned it to where it's supposed to be. And that's all. You didn't have to tell anybody. Says, well, you're right. Loimi boi kamar. The ratio of the mission, Shitas Rabbi Shmuel, it makes no difference whatsoever whether the Bailam was Yachad Lamakam or not Yachad Lamakam. The opposite. Loimi boi Yachad Yachtov. If the owner set aside a specific place to Mekaimahu, that by taking it, you've removed it from the place and now you're sort of a gazlan and then you're going to go ahead and put it back fine. Elafilo Yachtov. Even if the owner did not specify a specific place, the Lav Mekaimahu, that there was no one specific place to do it, Loibin on Das Bailam, you don't have to have a specific place where you were, a specific das when you return it of the owner, if he had a specific place. So by putting it back in that place, it's clearly das by them. Well, it's not really das by them, it's clearly more of a shava. But even if there was no specific place, it makes no difference. Once you put it down, says Mishmuel, you are going to be potter. Which means, as the Gemara says in a second, that the ratio in the Gemara, in the safe of the Mishnah, the ratio said that when you're lo yachtolei makom, but it really means yachtolei makom, and the sefer when it's, so the sefer though doesn't make any sense now. I'm a sefer yachtolei by the makom atilta v'nishbara b'mitach yode b'mishenicha letzarchoi chayav letzarcha potter. Over there, the brisa clearly says, the mishnah clearly says that if you picked it up for the wrong reason, even if you put it back down, you're still going to be chayav. That's clearly not Rabbi Shmuel. According to Shmuel, once you put it down, you're good. So the Gemara also the Rikiva. That safe of our Mishnah is not Shitas Rabbi Shmuel. The safe of the Mishnah is Shitas Rabbi Akiva, who says putting it down doesn't count. Putting it down is not giving it back to the owner until you call him up and tell him. Damar be'inan das bailam. And he Rabbi Akiva. So Mayra Yachta afil lo Yachta of Nabi. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it makes no difference if the owner set aside a spot for you or did not set aside a spot for you. You must tell him when you took it and you returned it. So I mean, you're right. Let me buy a kamer. In the sefer, according to Yekiva, it makes no difference. Let me buy lo yachta de loy makaymahu. El afilu yachta, even if you set aside a specific place and you return it to that specific place, nami de makaymahu, still it doesn't count. According to Yekiva, you're going to be chayv nitzin de binan das bailam. So that's a really strange way to read the Mishnah. We have the Mishnah sound like it was a single Shita, and now we're saying, no, the ratio of the Mishnah is Shita Rabbi Shmuel, that you can put it down, and once you put it down, you're Potter. And the safe of the Mishnah is Shita Rabbi Akiva, that you're not Potter until you tell the owner, wherever you put it down, makes no difference whatsoever. So it's a ratio of Rabbi Shmuel, safe of Rabbi Akiva? How do you read the Mishnah? So I'm like, yes. That is our Mishnah. Damar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, a famous statement. Manda metargim li chavis. If you could explain to me this Mishnah called chavis, the Mishnah of chavis, alibet de chatana, if you could figure out how to make this Mishnah fit according to one Tana, mavilna maina basrei, I will carry your towel for you, lebe misuto, when you go to the mikvah. So when you go to the mikvah, I will carry your towel for you. I will be your towel boy. I will be your slave. If you could, I'll be so indebted to you if you could figure out pshat in this Mishnah. Because Rabbi Yochanan said, you can't. The Mishnah, if you read the Mishnah the way it says it here, there's no way to figure out according to one Tana. It must be that the ratio is Rabbi Shmuel and the Sefer is Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara, not so fast. Maybe there is a way to answer this up, and then we can get Rabbi Yochanan to work for us in the mikvah. So let's see if we can figure out pshat in the Mishnah. Before we get to that, the Gemara says, we have to go back and understand what is one word in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, v'tiltula, that you're a metaltel, the chavis, and that's why you became responsible for it. Why, when you're metaltel the chavis, are you responsible for it? You're shomer chinam over here, and you were being metaltel the chavis letzor choy, so you're doing it for your own purpose. What does that trigger? What halacha is therefore triggered that you now become chayv and oinsin? So it says to him, first of all, Targuma Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba, Kameh de Rav, Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba said in front of Rav, Shenot la'manas le'gaizla. We must be talking about that tilta doesn't just mean you moved it. Tilta means you had intention when you picked it up to steal it. And therefore you're now a gazlin, and when you put it back down and giving it back to the owner with or without his knowledge, that's Vaheshav Zagzela. So your mamish stole it. Targumar of Nasim bar Abba, sounds like of Yaakov's brother, and Kameh de Rav, no. you don't have to go so far as to say that he actually wanted to steal it. You could also say shenot lamanas l'shleich b'yad. There's a halacha we'll discuss in a minute called shlichus yad. When you have a pekodin, something you're supposed to be watching as a shemer chinam or a shemer sachar, you're not supposed to be using the object. By using it, you violate the pasuk, the shvuah we'll see in a second, of shlichus yad. The difference between shlichus yad and gzela. Gzela means you want to steal the whole chayfetz. By shlichus yad, you're just using it, not even using all of it, just using a piece of it. Once you use a piece of it, you automatically have violated tzedakah. And kol zman, you are still using it, you are now considered chayev in oinsin. The Gemara in Amud Beis is going to compare it like to a shoel. Just like when someone borrows something and they're using it, they become chayev in oinsin. If you use this thing illegally, you also become chayev in oinsin. But it's not saying because you're planning on keeping it. Lavdafka, you're planning on keeping it as a gazan. But you're using it, and you're not supposed to be. You're chayev in oinsin. And Rashi stresses, even if you don't use the whole chayfetz, even if you only use part of it, you're going to be chayev in oinsin on all of it. So he says, that's what's going on over here. Now, why is the Tana, the first Amara, not agree to this? Because, says the Gemara, there's going to be a fundamental question we're going to have in the Gemara. When you use an object illegally as a shomer, if you use it without causing it any loss whatsoever, is that called shlichus yad? Or shlichus yad only, whereby using it, you weaken it, or something of that nature. So Mandi Amar Legoizla says, no, we must be talking about here where you had intention to steal it, because if you were just moving this object to use it a little bit, that's not causing any loss to the barrel, and therefore you're not going to be chayv al shlichus yad. We must be talking about a case where you picked it up to steal it. Okay, so you can either be chayv al stealing, or you can be chayv al shlichus yad. Of a third pshat. Maskevler of Sheshes, midi not look at that. He's not like either one of these pshatim. All these pshatim assume that you're planning on keeping the object of some level, of some sort. So the Mishnah doesn't say take it. The Mishnah says tiltala. Tiltala does not mean taking, tiltala just means moving. So it sounds like it's a lot less than stealing, even a lot less than shlichus yad. Rather, what is it? Tiltla katani. Elam Rav Sheshes, Hachma Eskin, Gonsha Tiltla, you moved it. Lahaviyala, guys, list. You used it, you moved it, so that you could use it for birds or something to climb up on it to get into the chicken coop. So what is wrong with that? That's not stealing. And it's not really shlichus yad per se. We'll see it. Hold on to Rashi in a few minutes what the difference between shlichus yad and this is. The kasavar shol shloi midas gazlan have. You're not a shlichus yad. You're not a gazlan. You're a shoel shloi midas. And a shoel shloi midas, if you borrow something from someone, even if you're not a shomer, stam, you go ahead and borrow something. A shlichus yad is only a halacha in a shomer. Shoel shloi midas is a halacha in everything. And if you hold shoel shloi midas as a gazlan, if you take the chayfetz for using, for as something you're going to want to use as a shoel, this one they hold, that itself is enough to trigger you as a gazlan. Then you have the regular din of hashava when you're going to return it and where you have to return it to. Okay. So whatever the pshat and tiltala is, it could be al gzela, it could be al shlichus yad, it could be al shoel shloi midas, that's what triggers your chiyuv. Okay. So now, that doesn't answer our question. Our question of Rabbi Yochanan is, that's nice, whatever triggers your chiyuv. Our question was, how do you work out the reisha and the sefer to fit according to one shita? So I'll tell you what. For kula Rabbi Shmueli, it is all koshitas Rabbi Shmuel, of course. The reisha was shiftas Rabbi Shmuel, that you can return without the owner knowing. So why in the sefer doesn't that count? The sefer shenicha b'makom she'ena makayimo. In the reisha where the bailam was lo yachta lo makom, there's no specific place you need to put it back. So anywhere you put it down, that's good enough. And it's keilu you returned it to the owner according to Bishmol. In the sefer, the bailam says, I want you to watch it in this specific corner. Bailam says, I want you to watch it in this specific corner. And you don't put it back in that corner, then you have not done hashava. And therefore says the Gemara, back, says these three Amorayim back to Bechon, I know what the big deal is. Please take our towel for us a little bit to the mikvah, because we figured out pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is just a difference of where did you put it back. Rabbi Yochanan nicha is b'mekayim mash. Rabbi Yochanan says no. The Mishnah said in the Seifa that v'tilta v'nishbra b'mitachel b'bein mishehi nicha. That when it said he nicha, that means you put it back where you were supposed to put it back. And then don't tell me that you put it in the wrong place. You do that. That's not the pshat in the word. Hinicha means back where it was supposed to be. And therefore, if you put it back where it's supposed to be, it would only not work, according to Rabbi Akiva. And we're back to Rabbi Yochanan and saying, the ratio is Rabbi Shmuel and the sefer is Rabbi Akiva. So it's a question of how to learn the semantics of the Mishnah, whether you can actually work the Mishnah out according to one Tana or not. Now let's go off on that topic of Shlichus Yad. Itmar. Rav Levi. Chad Amar Shlichus Yad Tzricha Chesaron. Chad Amar Shlichus Yad Ein Tzricha Chesaron. Whether you actually have to cause the, if you're a shamer and you want to be chayv as a shaleach yad, do you have to have some financial loss associated with it? Says Ma, first of all, we don't know which one said it. Which one was Rav's Shita? Which one was Levi's Shita? So at this time, the Rav Uda Amar Shlichus Yad Ein Tzricha Chesaron. The Chayr Rav said you don't, just by using it and trying to use it even in it, you're going to be chayv. This Sanya. Raya Shea, Raya Edre. A shepherd was watching his flock, v'niach edroi ubalair, and it was lunchtime, and he's allowed to go for an hour break. That's just standard, and he leaves the sheep out there, and that's fine. He's not going to be considered a pesheya, Rashi says, for leaving the sheep for an hour. V'baze v'tarav bari v'daras, and now while he's at lunch break, the animals attack, so he's going to be putter. That's normal time, and if the animals attack during lunchtime, sorry to the original owners, that's normal thing. If, however, before he went to lunch, he took his stick and he took his beged and he put it on one of the sheep. He's using one of the sheep to hold his beged and to hold his stick. So then he's going to be chayiv. He's going to be chayiv l'chayiv for shlichus yad. He's using the chayfets for his own thing. Vavinama, we asked on that brisa. Mishum denicha makav etamele chayiv hashaklenu l'chayiv. He put it down and then he took his jacket on and he took his stick and he went to lunch. So he didn't leave it on the sheep. Yes, while it's on the sheep, maybe you're considered a shaleach bayad. Once you pick it up, you're going to be putter. V'yamar of Nachman of Rav Avoh, Marav, ba'oidin aleha. No, you're right. If he took his stick off, he'd be putter. Here we're talking about where the animal got eaten while the shepherd's stick was still on the sheep. It says, ma'v'chiyoidin alamai havei, holay mashcha. Wait a second. Say what you want, but there's no kinyin gezela over here. Where's the kinyin gezela? He explained, when you put the stick on it, you hit it a little bit, so it moved, and if it moved, that's considered a kinyan gzeil. Okay, all very good, so now you're a shaleach yad. For shaleach yad, you chayv even for einzim. The animal's not weakened at all by you putting a stick on it or while you're putting your jacket on it. Must be. We see Rav holds like the Tzad that you can become, as long as you're still in the parish of Shlichus Yad, the stick is still on there, you're chayiv even if it did not have any financial loss whatever.
Why do you have to do kinyan?
What? Because you have to have the kinyan gzeil over here.
Even for Shlichus Yad.
Says my Ema Sheh, no, Ema Sheh Kisha Bamakal. Maybe when it said you hit it with a stick, didn't just mean you hit it. It means you hit it hard, and that caused it a black and blue mark, and the animal got weaker, and that is a chesaron. And a chafoch dekanami diktoni shehikisha b'mako. What have to say shehikisha b'mako? Just say shehikisha. For the fact that it said b'mako, it actually means that you did hit it hard, and therefore you're only going to be chayv as a shechazad because you caused it a loss. So a chafoch shmamina, and therefore the opposite. It's mashma that Rav says you're chayv only because you caused it a loss. And with the Rav says shechazad tzricha chesaron, must be Levi's the other tzad who says shechazad ain't a tzricha chesaron. Okay, so now we figured out who Rav Levi holds. What's the machlekes? What's the issue? So my time at the Levi, I'm Rabbi Yechanan, Mishum Rabbi Yaisi ben Huroi, Mishuna Shlichus Yad, Amur B'Shem Asachim, Mishlichus Yad, Amur B'Shem Eschino. If you look carefully in the Parsha Mishpatim, it actually says this idea of Shlichus Yad twice. We had two Parshas. We had the first Parsha of Vigunim B'Sheish, Yimatzei Aganef Shalom Shnayim, Imlo Yimatzei Aganef Nikol Abayis Alekim, and we said that Parsha is talking about a Shemer Chinam. And the pasuk of Shlichus Yad says, "V'nikar balabayis Elohim im lo yisholach yodah b'malachas yireyu." He has to go to Bezdin and somehow prove that he was not shaleach yad, and then he'd only be chayiv if he's tainatainas ganif, but he's not going to be chayiv for geneva as a shomer chino. The next parsha right away says, "Ki tishrenu shomer shemusenu meisoy nishbar shvuas Hashem tiyad ben shneim im lo yisholach yodah b'malachas yireyu v'im ganif yiganif yishalim." So that second pasuk is talking about a shemer sacher. By a shemer sacher, it also says he has to make a shvua that he was not shaleach boyad. Okay, so it says the idea of being shaleach boyad, of using the chayfets, both in the parsha of shemer chidam and in the parsha of shemer sacher. Why does it say it twice? Why does it have to be in both parshas? So he says, "Mishune shlichus yad amur b'shemer sacher, mishlichus yad amur b'shemer chidam." They're different. What does that mean? They're different. Hold on, the Gemara will explain. Vani Omer, he says, and I say, ain't a mishuna. It's not different at all. What's this whole conversation? The Mar explains. My mishuna, why does it mean it's different? Loi toimer shlichus yad b'shem esachel. The Torah does not have to write that if you're shaleach yad in a pekodin as a shem esachel, that you're going to be chayiv. V'teisim yishem echinim. I could just learn it out from a shem echinim. Ma shem echinim shepater b'gnei v'aveda. Shem echinim was totally pater in gnei v'aveda. Shalach b'yad chayiv. But if you use the object when it was being stolen, you're going to be chayiv in all einsin. So that if he uses the object and bishlichus bayad, he's going to be chayv in einzin. So Dara should just have to write it in the first parsha b'shem echinim. It should not have to write it in the second parsha b'shem esachar. Why did Dara write it a second time? If it just said it once, you would think, you know why you're chayv shlichus yad? Because you caused a financial loss. But if it was not a financial loss, then not. The Torah repeats it to say it's nothing to do with financial loss or not. As long as you use the object and you haven't finished using it, Kolzman, you do that, you're chayv as a shalechad on oinsin in all situations. That's why it's mishuna. That's why it says it twice. V'ani omer ein mishuna. And I say, no, there's no issue over here. Rabbi Elazar, the omer do v'do achasi. Like Rabbi Elazar explained, that you need to have it by Shem Echinam and you need to have it by Shem Esachar. Why? My do v'do achasi, what does this mean? Mishum. I can ask a question on your assumption. Your assumption was write it by Shem Echinam. And I know for sure that it applies by Shem Esachar, not necessarily true. Remember, when a Shem Esachar is watching an object and it gets stolen from him, he himself pays the owner. Whereas when a Shem Echinam is watching an object and it gets stolen from him, he's putter. But if he lies and claims it was stolen, and it turns out he stole it, we said he pays kefil. Whereas a Shem Esachar is never going to pay kefil on his own, right? He just says it was stolen from me, I'm a chayv as a shomer. So in this one little aspect, actually, a Shem Echinam is more chamur than a Shem Esachar. Because a Shem Echinam could end up paying kefil, and a Shem Esachar will never end up paying kefil. So if I just had it by Shem Echinam, you wouldn't necessarily know that it applies by Shem Esachar. Because Shem Echinam is not necessarily kal v'chaymer to Shem Esachar. Shem Echinam is, in some aspects, more chamur than Shem Esachar. If you don't like this kasha, you know why you don't like this kasha? He said, yes, the Shem Esachar doesn't pay kefil, but the Shem Esachar always pays for the ginev itself. So what's more chamur? Is it more chamur that the Shem Esachar is going to pay for the ginev itself, the keren? Or is it more chamur that a Shem Echinam might end up paying kefil? You can debate that point, and therefore if you think that a Shem Echinam maybe is more chamor, then you have to have Shlichus Yad written by both of them, because you couldn't learn out from one from the other, because they both have their own chamor aspect. If you're asking this question, if you're saying that you don't, it's because you're assuming always Shem Echinam is more kal, and write it by Shem Echinam, I know by Shem Esach. Rav Amar, Rav has a much more fundamental issue over here. Don't tell me you write it by Shem Echinam and learn it out to Shem Esachar. It says, I don't need it to say Shlichus Yad at all. Why? Because I've explained it in an Aleph. V'teisi mishayel. Be'etzem, any Shemer Shalech Bayad who's using the object is turning himself into a Shayel. V'mashel d'ladas b'aylem kovit. Shalach Bayad chayiv Shem Echinam v'Shem Esachar like kol shekein. So you're just basically turning yourself into a shayel. A shayel is chayev in all einsin. So you as a Shem Echinam or Shem Esachar also are turning yourself into a quasi-shayel. And of course you're going to be chayev in einsin. I don't need the Torah to tell me this at all. Lama nemer. Why does the Torah write these two parshas of Shlichus Yad both by Shem Echinam and by Shem Esachar? One to teach me that when you do this, you do not need a financial loss. The idach and the second time, shalai taimer, dayu lovim and adin liyas kenidin. You would have a problem. If you learn it out from Shoyal, then you're going to say it works exactly like Shoyal, because that's Halach of Dayu. It has to be the same. The Halach of Shoyal is, if you borrow Chafetz from someone, and the owner is you with you when you're using it, then you're totally Potter and all Einzim. That's Halach that we learned in Hilchos Shoyal, that if you're going to be Shoyal, Babaylam, Sha'ela, Babaylam, is totally Potter. Well, if you learn out Shlichus Yad of Shem Echinim and Shem Esachar from there, then maybe you'll also say that if you're shalech by Yad and the owner is there, you're going to be butter. So Kamash Malon, the second pasuk that knows. We're learning two things in these pasukim. A, you don't need a chisarid. And B, even though we're learning out from Shoyal, but Lamaisa, if the Bailam is there, you're still going to be chayev by Shem Echinim and Shem Esachar, because you were never supposed to be shalech Yad in the first place. If you hold like the pashup shot in the posik, that without any drushes, like we said, that you have to have a financial loss to be chayv as a shaleach bayad. So why does it say it twice? Why does he need it at all? Just learn it out from Shoyal. First of all, because if you're learning it just from Shoyal, that's not enough, because then you're going to be putter if the owner's there. The idah for a different drasha. Look at this, Sanya. The pasuk says by Shem Echinam, v'nikar v'balabayas elohim im leishalach yadav v'malach yisrael. He should go to Beis Din and prove that he did not use the object. It doesn't say he should make a shvua. It doesn't say that. So we darshan though, it means l'shvua. Maybe just means to go to Bezdin. Nemer shlichus yad lamata. It says shlichus yad by shemer socher. V'nemer shlichus yad lamata by shemer chinam. Mal alon by shemer socher. It specifically says shvuas Hashem tia bein shneim. Afkan l'shvua. So therefore, the drasha, the reason it says shlichus yad twice, is to teach me that the halacha of them is the same. And just by shemer socher, you have to make a shvua. Also by shemer chinam, you have to make a shvua. And Rashi says we let out two halachas from that. A, that a shemer chinam to be potter from Geneva Aveda has to swear, and B, for Hashem Echidim to be chayev as a tain as ganif, it has to be when he swears it was stolen. But that's why we have the double drush of Shlichus Yad, not because you're going to be chayev Shlichus Yad without a chisar. So besikuk, the pshat in our mission was says you were tiltla, we had three pshatim. Either you could be chayev as a gazlin, because you actually wanted to steal the chavis, or we said you could be chayev as a shaleach yad, only if you hold shlichus yad in a tzricha chisar, because over here you're not causing any loss to the barrel. Or we said you could be chayiv as a shoyel shaloi midas, because you're using an object. If you hold a shoyel shaloi midas as chayiv as a gazlin, then you can be chayiv as well. Rashi, one quick Rashi back on Amud Aleph. Rashi and Amud Aleph wants to know, what is the difference between shlichus yad and shoyel shaloi midas? How do you define the difference? When would you be considered something a shoyel shaloi midas, and when would you consider something a shaleach bayad? For instance, in the case of the animal. But the case of the animal, Rav said that he hid it, or he's putting his object on it, and we said that's shlichus yad. How do you know that's shlichus yad? Maybe Rav over there was mechayev him, mitam shel shaloi midas. How do you know which is which? So Rashi says four lines up on the bottom, five lines up on the bottom. Dechi amrina, at the end of the line, dechi amrina mishaymim, she'elo shaloi midas, but that is, when is it she'elo shaloi midas? V'davar she'eno kichash v'chitzer machmas v'locha. Something that does not cause any loss at all, can't even possibly cause any loss when you use it, like the barrel, when you just move the barrel to climb up on it, no possibility of any loss, then it says, this my name holds, you have a din of a shel shalem idas, of a balichayim, if it's a live animal, hamakhisha machmas malachai, if you use them, they could just weaken by working on them, then Rashi says, that's called shlichus yad. What exactly the difference is, where Rashi gets this chiluk from, the Rishonim do not know. The Rishonim have very other opinions and do not like Rashi's opinion. I'm just pointing out that Rashi is at least addressing this question of where do you draw the line between Gzela, Shlichus Yad, and Shor Shalem Midas. You have to know which one applies in each case, but we have three different ways to learn the Mishnah. All of them, you could be Chayv al Tiltla. But again, just to finish off, when you learn the Mishnah that way, it's all very good. You still need, like Rabbi Yochanan said, to split the Mishnah up. And the ratio of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel, and you can return the object without the owner knowing. And the Sefer Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva, and therefore the owner must be aware when you return it. Agut and Chaydash.